I had my ass kicked. I had my ass kicked by a Svente vampire. I had my ass kicked by a woman. The guys would never let me live this down. Neither would my brother or Antonio. Neither would she if she had stayed. Sam. It suited her. I had to laugh inwardly at myself. The whole thing was so weird. She had kicked my ass, embarrassed me in front of God knows how many people, and even called me a pretty girl, and all I'd wanted to do was grab her, kiss her, and bite her. Why couldn't she have come here to ask to be one of my consorts? When I saw her at the pool, I thought that might have been why she was there. Oh, I'd have said yes. Who wouldn't have? There was that amazing body, that great accent, that husky voice. Even her smart-ass attitude was a turn-on. I wouldn't have cared if she was like the other women around here, not interested in me, just wanting to be the heir's consort. If it was the power and authority that they liked, fine. Whatever. Just as long as they were there when I needed them, all was good. But she would never have done what I told her to. Never have bowed down. Never have batted her eyelids. She hadn't been impressed or intimidated by my authority. Sure, she wouldn't have known that I was the heir. But she'd known that I was a commander, and potentially her boss. Had she cared? No. She'd kicked my ass. All of that made her different. It made her interesting. Nothing could have stopped me from offering for her to be another of my consorts. Nothing except for that look on her face when she realized I hadn't chosen her for the squad. Pure hatred. And strangely, that had got to me. So had the idea that I wouldn't see her again. What had got to me even more was that it had felt so, I don't know, wrong to watch her go. Like I was watching something go that was mine. Well, whatever. Maybe I was just horny. I'd go see Joy once I was done in the office. Or maybe Daniela. Or Tammy. Or maybe even all of them. Only one thing stopped all that from being the turn-on that it should be. I could make it happen so easily. I shrugged it all off as I teleported from the squad's quarters to my own personal office in the command center. As I appeared at the desk, movement in my peripheral vision snatched my attention. A weird feeling circulated through me when I turned my head to the left. It was a feeling that made me feel sickly and energized at the same time. It was her. She was sat on an oak desk, swinging her crossed legs slightly. A tiny part of my brain registered that the furniture was new, and liked how it was situated to my left, so that the desks together formed an L shape. The rest of my brain joined my body in being totally preoccupied with the sight of her. It was weird how good it was to just see her, especially since I hadn't expected to ever again. God, she was so tempting. Like a trap. And I'd already stepped in it. With both feet. She had her head tilted to the side as she returned my stare, but her expression was blank. I could guess why she was there. "Come to contest my decision?" I asked, as I leaned casually against the front of my desk. "I thought you wouldn't want to work for a sexist twat."
"I earned a spot, and you know it. I suppose whipping you into place didn't do anything for my chances, seeing as you obviously have an ego as swollen as a horse's rigid dick."
The laugh just burst out of me. "You're powerful, I'll give you that. But there's a lot more to being in the Legion than being agile and gifted."
"Explain it to me."
I sighed. "Some of the things that the recruits will be required to do, Let's just say they're not for the faint-hearted. There's no space for compassion, or even guilt.
So, because I'm a woman, I must be faint-hearted, compassionate, and prone to guilt trips?
My smile widened a little. She couldn't have any idea how much her attitude was making me want her right now.
You know what, Commander Michaels?
There was no respect in the title. It was patronizing, and I loved it.
I would have thought that today might have at least taught you one thing. Women might just be able to handle things better than you give them credit for. You held blood to my lips.
I'd wanted her to lick my finger badly.
And I didn't even so much as twitch. You had me playing Tarzan in the forest with that giant ogre chasing me, and I delivered on that task as well. Then you purposely left me until last for the third task, so that I'd have to duel with you. And let's not butter up the fact that I put you on your backside.
Yes, you did. But those tasks aren't nearly as bad as the tasks you get once you're in the Legion. Some will keep you up at night. Stick with you forever. Narrowing her eyes, she slowly slid off the desk with the smoothness of a snake and approached me in a predatory manner. With only a footstep between us, she spoke,
"Well, let me tell you something. I've done things in my time that would make the curly hairs in your pants go straight. Female or not, I reckon I've got bigger balls than you have."
Her voice went even raspier when she was irritated, and that just made me want her even more. I found myself wondering what it would be like to bury my fingers in that dark hair, or claim her mouth. I didn't bother masking my desire for her. I let my eyes wander to her full lips. I let the red tint to my irises flare. Then I watched her face as she noticed. She didn't shrink away. Instead, more defiance entered her expression as she shot me a not-a-chance look. I strongly disagreed.
"So, you want me to give you a trial run in my squad?"
She tilted her head again.
"No."
The office doors opened, and in strode Antonio with his bodyguards and pit bulls flanking him. The dogs, to my complete shock, trotted over to Sam, sniffing and nuzzling her. Antonio didn't seem surprised, which also shocked me.
"You have told him the news?"
Antonio asked Sam.
"News?" I queried.
Something told me that I wasn't going to like this. Mostly it was her smug expression.
"You will both be working together."
"Will both be what?"
"I've offered Miss Parker..."
"For the gazillionth time, will you just call me Sam?" she stressed.
Antonio smiled at her indulgently, like a father. What the hell had been going on?
"You've offered her," I prompted, "the role of aiding you with training your squad to control their gifts."
"Isn't that great?"
she said with fake enthusiasm. Antonio looked as though he was stifling a chuckle. Great. The joke was on me.
"You made this decision without first speaking to me," I said in a low voice, feeling overlooked. He sighed. "Jared, you know that I hold you in the highest esteem. You know how valuable I consider you to be. You know that I trust in your capability. But I'm apparently not capable enough. I have my reasons for needing the squad properly prepared without delay. I will be holding a meeting tomorrow during which all will be explained to you, Sam, and the other commanders. What I will assure you of now is that my employing Sam is not a reflection on you or my faith in you."
"Yeah,
Right. That was when I walked out.
Sam. Well, that went well, I said after Jared slammed the door shut behind him. Antonio sighed. After a little time alone with his thoughts, he will be fine. I certainly hope he isn't. In the meantime, please acquaint yourself with your personal assistant.
I have a personal assistant.
Fletcher has been Jared's assistant for the past 3 years, and now he is also yours. A fellow Brit, too. Fletcher?
In a blink, Fletcher appeared, his hands clasped together and his eyes shining with enthusiasm. I realized that I'd seen him at what looked like a reception desk outside the room. The feminine way with which he held himself, and the fact that he was so color-coordinated, to the extent that he sported designer glasses that had a navy frame to match his navy suit, all told me one thing. Fletcher was homosexual, and so cute. He had the cutest baby face that looked almost perfectly circular and was framed by short, tight, mahogany curls. The most adorable dimples decorated his naturally pouty lips. I just wanted to pinch his cheeks, like a grandmother would do to a child.
Yes, your grandness.
He was a Londoner, too. Even better. I could tell just by looking at him that we were going to have such a laugh.
Fletcher, I'd like you to meet Commander Sam Parker. You may have noticed a new desk and leather chair being brought in here. Sam will be working with Jared, so I hope you will be just as valuable to her as you are to him.
Nodding, Fletcher said,
"That goes without saying, your grandness."
Antonio returned his focus to me.
"Sebastian will ensure that your sire is notified of your employment here. I'm sure he'll be delighted about it."
Wearing a sly smile, he left the room with his entourage. Fletcher approached me and held out his hand.
"Hello, Commander, "Let me stop you right there," I said, smiling. "No, Commander Parker, I beg you. Just call me Sam."
"Oh, my God, you're a Cockney like me. Do you know, I was the only Brit in the Hollow until now."
"The Hollow?"
"That's what we call the place, love. I suppose the teleportation process didn't give you a great view. Come with me."
It turned out that Fletcher had a feminine walk, too. This Kasia just got cuter and cuter. He led me up 2 flights of stairs to the roof of the building.
"There," he said, pointing down. "See?"
My God. The place was humongous, like a holiday camp or something. Several buildings were scattered around, forming a rectangular shape around a man-made white-sanded beach that had a bridge in the middle. It had a relaxed Caribbean feel about it.
"Where are we, exactly?" "A little island just south of St. Lucia, love. You won't find it on any map. This here, as you know, is the command center. It has 10 offices, one for each commander. You're now the 11th, but of course you share an office with Jared."
"So there are 10 squads in the Legion?"
"Yes, with 10 vamps in each one."
He gestured to the main mansion, which was to our left.
"That's Antonio's residence. The only other vamps who reside there are his consorts. The Creedy Git's got about 14 of them, Sebastian and his advisor. Oh, and his personal guards, you might have noticed he's got plenty of them. He mostly stays there. Then to the left of the mansion is the guest house. We don't get many guests, as Antonio likes his privacy. Then there are 2 residence halls for his general staff, like the chefs and maids and maintenance people and what have you. The row of buildings directly facing us are shops, cafes, restaurants and bars. Oh, and there's a cinema, a bowling alley and even a nightclub."
"You were kidding?" Fletcher grinned.
"I'm glad I'm not. With all those bars and shops, this is my Graceland."
"Is there a clothes shop? I've only got enough stuff to last me till tomorrow. Something tells me that my sire won't pass along my belongings," I grumbled.
"Oh, yeah, there's nothing those stores don't have. The idea behind Antonio's design of the Hollow was so that he wouldn't have to leave. As the Grand High Master, he has to worry about attempts on his life. If someone was to kill him, they would have the right to fight the heir for the position of the Grand High Master. So Antonio built himself, his bloodline and his staff a nice little community. or a world within a world, as he likes to call it.
So anyone who works here can't leave?
Oh, don't worry, love, it's not like a prison, he chuckled. People can venture out if Antonio gives them permission. I've never met anyone who wants to leave, though. All the staff gets full use of that lovely beach there, and plenty of time off, and the pay's good. Most important to them, they have the best vampiric protection they could possibly have. There's no securer place to be.
I gazed around me, astonished and in awe of Antonio's little community. What are these buildings to our right?
That's the residence hall for commanders, their consorts and personal assistants. Then you've got the residence hall for all the members of the Legion, and another one for any humans. And that last building in the corner by the nightclub is the security lodge.
He twirled on the spot, and then ushered me to the opposite edge of the roof.
Last but not least, we have all this.
The view overlooked the pool and the gardens of Antonio's mansion, the arena where the tryout had taken place, the small forest that I had not long ago been chased through, and also a beach. It was absolutely breathtaking, with the azure blue sea and white sand. So inviting.
Only Antonio, the commanders and the Legion have access to this beach, Fletcher told me. That's why he has the man-made beach for the other vamps. So, what do you think?
I smiled at him. It's all right, I suppose. He elbowed me gently.
Give over. It's fabulous.
Back at the office, Fletcher handed me document upon document about the history of the Hollow and the Legion. I made myself comfy on my leather chair, balancing my feet on the desk as I settled with the files. Meanwhile, Fletcher was gathering as much available personal information as possible on the new squad members to create their personnel files. I was eager to read them and get a proper idea of who I would be coaching, a job that was in effect from tomorrow.
Reading up on the history of the Legion, huh?
Said Jared, leaning against his desk, gazing at me. He was getting a good look at my legs, like he was trying to see through my pants. Self-conscious? Not many people ever made me feel self-conscious. I was itching to drop my legs from the table. But then he would know that he had made me feel uncomfortable, and he would get off on that. Then a thought came to me. How had I not heard him or sensed him enter the room? As if guessing my train of thought, he said,
I can teleport.
You have two gifts. How is that possible?
I have three, actually. My natural gift is electrokinesis, but Antonio has a power to pass on gifts. Twice he singled me out to receive two others as rewards.
So what's the third?
Telepathy, I heard in my head.
It was like hearing him talk through a phone.
You can read thoughts.
I sounded horrified by the idea, which made him smile.
No, but I can communicate using my mind, he replied.
I was extremely relieved that he couldn't read my thoughts. No way did I want him to know how gorgeous I thought he was, or that I was trying so hard not to ogle, or that I was hoping to get a good look at his backside the next time he turned around. Good for you. I tried to sound uninterested and returned my attention to the documents.
You could have said that with your mind, you know.
I thought you said you couldn't read thoughts.
I can't, but if you direct a thought at me, I'll hear it.
I looked up at him and smacked. I'd like to slice off your salami and shove it up your sexist arse. His smile became a mischievous grin as he arched a brow.
So you've been thinking about my salami?
I scowled at him and went back to the documents, but apparently he wasn't finished teasing me yet.
Well, you've been thinking about my salami, so I suppose I could think about you naked, and then we'd be even.
No, no, I do not want you thinking about me naked.
You really should have said something sooner.
I meant to scowl at him again, but the intense red glow in his eyes froze me for a second. It was almost impossible not to get a kick out of someone as gorgeous as him wanting you, even if they were a sod. Recovering quickly, I asked,
Where are our new recruits? My new recruits are having a tour of the Hollow, and then they'll get settled into their accommodation before dawn.
Oh, they're your new recruits, are they? So you're still intent on being childish?
He sighed.
Actually, I've been thinking.
Sulking would be more accurate.
Did you honestly think that I'd be thrilled that Antonio thought I needed help?
I knew you'd hate it. I knew you'd think you don't need my help. And I knew you'd try to make my life difficult, hoping I'd gibbet. But here's the thing, Commander. You can't possibly hate this more than I hate working for my sire. And there's nothing you could do that could be worse than what he'd do if I went back to him. So if I were you, I'd stop the sulking and get over it. He tilted his head.
Is that why you took the job? To get away from your sire?
He didn't say it judgmentally. That played a factor in it. But I wouldn't have taken up Antonio's offer if I didn't think I could make a difference. If you're that immature that you can't bring yourself to work with a woman, we'll split the time. You can have the recruits from dusk till before lunch break, and I'll have them after lunch for a few hours.
Sounds fair. But I still say I don't need the help.
Anyone who's so narrow-minded needs help. Being prejudiced just holds people back.
Is that right? He asked, smiling and crossing his arms over his chest.
I can guarantee you that within 7 nights, you'll see a difference with our new recruits' control of their gifts. When that happens, you'll owe me an apology, a public one. He strolled over, stopping only when he reached my desk. The challenge in his eyes made me stand up.
Care to make that bet interesting?
Bets are always interesting.
If you manage to improve their control in 5 nights.
5? I said 7.
What, you don't think you can make a difference within 5 nights?
His smirk was triumphant, as he knew I wouldn't show any weakness.
Fine. 5 nights. As I was saying, if you manage to improve their control in 5 nights, I'll apologize. I'll even make a public apology if that's what you want. But if you don't make any difference...
He leaned across the table, leaving only inches between our faces.
I get to taste you.
His gaze wandered down to my throat, and his irises began to glow red again. I had to admit, reluctantly, of course, that I liked that tasting my blood was so appealing to him. My instinct was to say, "You can sod off." But that would be the equivalent of me saying that I wasn't 100% confident in my ability to help the squad. His grin was smug. He knew he had completely cornered me.
Fine. I'll look forward to collecting on my bet.
Why would you want to give yourself false hope? Suddenly, there was a tiny knock on the office door. A female voice called out, "It's only me, sweetie." And then a girl barged into the office. Immediately, I didn't like her, because she was obviously Jared's girlfriend, with her shoulder-length pitch-black hair, her penetrating Kasia amber irises, chunky scarlet lips and coal-black dress. She made me think of a witch. She was beautiful, yeah, but she was also so skinny to the extent that she was all bony. Her skimpy dress perfectly illuminated this fact. I sent a thought to Jared.
Oh, come on. There's no meat whatsoever on those bones, and she doesn't even make up for it in the boob department. They're like bee stings.
I really thought you'd have better taste than that. He looked amused.
Jealous?
Of a stick insect?
Yeah, right.
He didn't look convinced, and, well, he shouldn't. I was jealous, which surprised me. Her eyes narrowed slightly as she saw Jared leaning across my desk, but she quickly pasted a wide smile on her face and walked over to him. She held my gaze as she planted a kiss on his cheek. Possessiveness twinkled in those eyes. I really didn't like that. I was pretty sure that I'd later question why on earth it had bothered me so much. I smiled pleasantly at her.
Hi, you must be Nancy.
Damn if I knew any Nancy. I just wanted to enjoy seeing the possessive twinkle become paranoia. Her own smile faded. I'm Joy, she said emphatically, before turning to Jared.
Who's Nancy?
Although she'd clearly tried to sound aloof, she hadn't pulled it off at all. Jared gave me a knowing smile.
One of the human girls.
No idea why he was playing along.
Joy, this is Commander Parker.
She sniggered.
Since when does a woman, or a Svente for that matter, work here?
Since she kicked my ass.
So she's the one who did that, but she looks so, well, ordinary.
Before I could snap her head off her twig-like body,
Jared told her. Joy, it's really not smart to irritate someone who could kill you easier than she can breathe.
The phone on my desk rang, snapping me out of my planning. What would be the most rewarding way to watch her die? I answered quickly.
Hello? Sam, love, Sebastian's here to see you, Fletcher informed me.
Send him in, Fletch. Thanks. No sooner had I hung up the phone than Sebastian was stood before my desk. Jared backed away with Joy nibbling on his ear. He was more interested in what Sebastian had to say, though by the look on his face, I already had a pretty good idea what this was about.
One of my assistants managed to reach Victor and inform him of your new circumstances.
I guessed right, Sebastian puffed.
He more or less indicated that.
I should get back there or he'll hunt me down and drag me back himself, I supplied. That was the kind of stupid thing Victor would say, considering he had always viewed me as a possession. Losing me also meant losing his consort and his main weapon.
Something like that. Is Victor your sire? Jared asked.
I gave him a curt nod.
The threat is pointless, of course, continued Sebastian. There is no way that Antonio will hand you over to Victor unless you wish to go of your own free will. However, Victor insisted on you being personally given the message and for you to respond immediately as to whether you will be going back to him.
With all seriousness, I replied, I'd rather lick my own asshole. Sebastian, apparently now accustomed to my occasionally harsh language, only smiled. You be sure he gets that message, word for word. Sebastian nodded his head obligingly.
I shall do so, Commander, with extreme pleasure. Oh, I almost forgot to inform you that your apartment is ready for you.
My what?
You didn't think Antonio was going to ask you to stay in shabby accommodations, did you?
He threw me a key card.
I'm sure Fletcher will take you when you're ready.
Thanks. And I sincerely meant it. Before leaving, Sebastian shot Jared a look of distaste, just as nauseated as me by how Joy was moaning while dabbing Jared's neck with noisy kisses. I decided to take a leaf out of Sebastian's book and get out of there. Hearing Victor's name had made my skin crawl, and I just wasn't in the mood to listen to some twig drool all over my colleague, who I inconveniently found so tempting. Tidying the documents on my desk, I spoke to Jared as one professional to another. Fletcher said he'll have the personnel files on the recruits done by dusk, so could you leave them on my desk once you're finished with them? I'll need them before lunch break.
Where are you going?
He asked that as though he actually thought he had a right to know. Why? Do you need me for something? His brow arched suggestively as a devious smirk surfaced on his devastatingly attractive face. I corrected. Do you need me for something that doesn't involve tasting my blood?
5 nights, and I'll be tasting you, whether you like it or not.
I snorted. You keep telling yourself that, if it helps you sleep in the day. Chapter 3 Sam Fletcher, the gem, insisted on accompanying me to the residence hall. In front of the building there was a spacious garden with a pebbly path that wound toward the entrance. The main doors were black and bulky, yet easy to open thanks to my vampire strength. It was even quieter inside than it was outside. Quieter than I thought anything could be. You know that feeling when everything's so quiet that you can actually hear a weird little buzzing sound in your ear? Fletcher's voice was like a boom in the silence.
All of the commander's personal assistants live on the ground floor and the basement. Our apartments aren't as big as yours, but they're nice and cozy. That's all I ask of life.
Have you always been a personal assistant here?
Oh, yeah. When my sire got the position of one of the security guards about 40 years ago, he brought some of his vampires with him, one being me. I've only been Jared's assistant for a few years. Before that, he had a dozen different women. I think Antonio appointed me for Jared because he just wanted him to have an assistant he couldn't shag. I giggled.
Something tells me that you would shag Jared, given half the chance.
Am I that easy to read?
Together we ventured up the soft, regal blue carpeted staircase until we came to the 8th level. We walked along a beige-painted corridor, passing 2 or 3 black doors, a until we finally stopped at a door that sported the sign, Commander Samantha Parker. Earlier, I'd pictured myself dashing inside that apartment, content as a pig in shit. Call me odd, I know I would, but now I found myself procrastinating. I'd spent the past 3 years sharing a flat with Victor, and having him and his guards spying on my every move. Now I would not only have privacy, I'd have things that were mine, and just mine. That title on the door was mine. This apartment was mine. The new job I had and the wages that would come from it would all be mine. Furthermore, I didn't belong to anyone now except myself. There was a lot that my slow brain needed to absorb. So many changes happening so quickly.
"You're gonna love this, I just know it," said Fletcher excitedly, as I finally unlocked the door with my key card. "The walls are even vampire soundproof. How great's that?"
Noiselessly, the door swung open and presented me with my new home. Wow! It was much more stylish than what I'd been expecting. I walked along the soft, luxury beige carpet of my living area. The walls were brilliant white, as were the window frames, the curtains, and the balcony doors. "Oh, yes, I have a balcony," I drawled, passing a crescent moon-shaped sofa in the center of the living area. The sofa was angled toward a large widescreen TV that was hanging on the wall. Ooh, nice. Between the two was an oval pine coffee table that was positioned comfortably on a white fur, fake fur, I could tell, rug. In one corner was a large dish lamp, while in the other corner there was a CD player and a collection of CDs. As I swerved back to flash a delighted smile at Fletcher, I noticed that my duffel bag had been placed near the door.
"Come see your kitchen," he urged.
The carpet ended at a small, glossy cream kitchenette, which was tiled the same glossy cream. Although it was miniature, it was all there. Cupboards, oven, hob, sink, refrigerator, microwave, kettle, washing machine, and tumble dryer. Fletcher did a Vogue-worthy pose against the fridge before opening it and making a voila sound.
"In here, they've stocked you a load of NSTs."
"NSTs?"
"Sounds like a sexually transmitted disease, doesn't it?"
"No, love, I mean nutritive supplemental tonics. They've got blood in them and a load of other funky vitamins. Antonio has them made so we don't have to move thousands of humans into the hollow to feed on." He took one of the glass bottles out and sniffed.
"They're not bad, actually. They get to your thirst quick enough and they give you a good boost. This one's supposed to have a vanilla flavor to it, but I wouldn't know if it's nice or not. I've never tried it. I think these ones are the best."
He pulled out another bottle.
"Honey flavored. Go on, have a sip."
Mainly because I knew Fletcher wouldn't shut up until I tried some, I took the honey-flavored NST and removed the cap. The aroma that escaped the bottle was alluring and hypnotic, drawing me to the liquid. It was the kind of smell that would make you feel hungry, even if you weren't. But I was hungry. Well, thirsty, so I aggressively chugged it down. I probably looked like an animal, but I couldn't have cared, even if you'd paid me to.
"That's all right, that." "Good Lord, you must have been parched. Why didn't you say something?"
The feeling that came from devouring the drink was strange. I felt relaxed, the way I did after a mug of hot chocolate, but I also felt giddy and hypo, the way I did after a can of Red Bull. There was such a silky feel to the liquid that it soothed my throat and made me feel refreshed rather than groggy. But although it got to work on the thirst pretty quickly, like Fletcher had said it would, it also left me wanting more. Nothing really quenched the thirst except pure blood itself. Fletcher tugged on my arm.
"Come on, come see the bedroom suite."
The beige, fluffy carpet began again after the kitchenette, leading into a gorgeous bedroom where there was a queen-sized bed adorned with rose-pink satin bedsheets. Fletcher and I exchanged a knowing look, and then both dived on the bed.
"My word, this is comfy," he purred. "I think you'll struggle to get out of this bed in the evenings. I know I'd never leave it if it was mine."
"And it's all mine."
"You're not getting yourself a consort?"
The word always gave me a chill. I'd been Victor's consort against my will for the past 3 years. Having sex with someone who you despised had a way of making you feel ill inside. I had to question whether sex itself had ever really been that thrilling. Not a chance in hell. Do you have one?
Better. I have a boyf, Norm.
We've been together about a year now. But maybe you should think about getting a consort for a little while. Pardon my saying this, but it looks to me like you could do with a good shag. I mean, it might help with the aggressiveness, and then maybe you wouldn't get so hot around Jared all the time.
Completely taken aback by the comment and the way Fletcher had said it so casually, I guffawed.
What? Oh, don't muck about. It's obvious you want him and he you. You might have decked him at the tryout, but those red irises tell me he's gotten over it quick enough. I've heard he's well hung, if that helps.
I do not get hot around him.
That's a little thing called denial.
He waved a hand.
Anyway, if you're not going to get a consort, at least get yourself a vessel, love.
A vessel was a human readily available to you and only you for biting any time.
There are plenty of NSTs, but nothing compares to the act of biting and drinking blood, does it? Maybe you could have a little nibble on Jared's...
Right, that's it. I reluctantly rose from the bed. If you persist on mentioning that sod, I'm continuing my look of the apartment without you. Fletcher gasped.
You can't do that. I'm your tour guide.
On either side of the bed were fitted triple wardrobes that had long mirrors on the doors. I was now looking forward to going shopping just so I could fill them. God, it would feel good to go shopping and pick my own things, as opposed to having Victor picking everything for me. Hanging above the top of the bed, adjoined to the wardrobes, was a row of six cupboards. I fully intended to fill them with books. I'd always liked reading, mostly Stephen King or James Patterson books. You couldn't go wrong with those authors. On the opposite side of the bedroom was a white chest of drawers on which stood an elegantly framed oval mirror. Last but not least, in the corner of the room were a black leather desk chair and a smaller version of the desk in my office. Better still, on the desk sat a laptop computer and printer. I guess that my astonishment must have been clear on my face, because Fletcher elbowed me and said,
"Overwhelmed?"
I nodded. But in a good way.
Well, you're about to get even more overwhelmed, because in that ensuite bathroom you'll find a large corner bath that doubles as a jacuzzi.
What? You're joking.
See for yourself, woman.
No, it hadn't been a joke. The bathroom was immaculate. The walls were painted spearmint green till halfway down, and then had large white tiles decorating the bottom half. A turbo shower was hung on the wall over the jacuzzi bath.
Well, what do you think of your new home?
I'm in love. In theory, the predominantly white decor should have been quite plain and boring, considering that this colour scheme ran throughout the apartment, but it was actually very beautiful. It made the place feel pure and heavenly. But even if it had had a dull, gloomy appearance, I still would have adored it, because it was mine.
Jared. It was getting so easy to sense her. I couldn't explain how I did it, though. It was almost like there was a part of me that remained dormant until her husky voice or intoxicating scent was near. Then that part of me woke up and completely took over. At that point, all I could think about was her. I didn't even suspect that she was aware of me hanging over my balcony, watching her hanging over her own, two levels down from me, until she sent a thought to me. What? Her gaze didn't move from her balcony view.
I can feel you staring, so don't say nothing.
So she was intensely aware of me, too. I couldn't resist teasing her. If you really want to know, I was getting a good look at your ass. That made her pivot on the spot, her mouth gaping open as she glared hard at me. I could have sworn she looked a little self-conscious. The truth is, I was thinking about what that blood of yours tastes like. She scowled.
You should know that you're setting yourself up for disappointment.
You know you've wondered what it would feel like to have me sink my teeth into your skin.
Oh, yes.
Sarcasm.
I want you, Jared. I need you.
Eye roll.
Haven't you got a twig to go snuggle up to?
Joy doesn't sleep in my apartment. Come see for yourself if you want. Another eye roll.
Good night.
Looking a little flushed, she retreated into her apartment. As much as I teased her about our little bet, the truth was that I didn't really want to win it. Did I want to taste her? Hell yes. But I wanted to taste her because she wanted me to, not because of some bet. And I knew that wasn't going to happen if I started giving her leeway or showing signs of weakness. Sam was spirited, and it was letting her exercise that spiritedness that got her going. Whether she realized it yet or not, this betting stuff and the constant conflict between us was foreplay.
Sam. I should have sliced off his salami. I should have. Then I wouldn't feel all flushed right now, imagining him biting and tasting me. God, this was ridiculous. How could you be attracted to someone who made you so pissed off that you'd be considering burning their balls with a lighter? I wanted to twat myself over the head for being so relieved that he didn't share his apartment with the twig. I didn't want to want him, or think about him, or be jealous about the twig. Maybe it was nothing to do with Jared. Maybe Fletcher was right, and I needed a good shag to set me straight. Maybe getting a little once-over by a stranger would help me burn off those stupid feelings. With horniness out of the equation, I wouldn't want Jared anymore. Right? I'd think on that a little more at dusk. For now, as much as I was curious to know if I also had internet access and satellite channels, I was way too tired for that or anything else. Without undressing, I plonked myself on the bed and immediately entered dreamland. I slept like, well, the dead, until about 15 minutes after dusk had settled. I dug out the last of my clothes from the duffel bag, a pair of black denim slim-fitting jeans and a white long-sleeved top that hung loosely over one shoulder, and dressed with vampire speed. Then I enjoyed 3 NSTs. Greedy, I know, but I burned off a lot of calories yesterday and I'd have a busy evening ahead, before heading out my door. As I descended the final set of stairs, I saw a blonde bloke coming my way that I'd never met, but who at the same time I found familiar. It wasn't his tallness that was familiar, or his athletic yet slim build, or his cocky strut, which I really liked. I'd remember someone that appealing. But there was something about his smile, and his eyes, hazel eyes.
"You must be Commander Parker," he said in a friendly, chirpy tone.
"Sam."
"Commander Michaels, the other one, but just call me Evan."
I took the hand that he offered. He had a firm handshake.
"You were Jared's brother?"
I hadn't known he had one.
"We're twins. Both got turned into vamps at the same time. I heard you're a feeder."
"Yep."
"And you use an energy whip?"
His smile turned a little roguish.
"Not in a dominatrix kind of way."
What was it with blokes and wits?
"Shame."
His eyes ran over me, but not in a slimy way. It was more of a studious look.
"See you at the meeting."
The meeting was being held in the mansion in one of Antonio's many conference rooms. Arriving 15 minutes early, I found a long table that seated 30 people. Only Jared and a few other vampires were there.
"Evening, Commander Parker," said Jared with a smirk,
totally taking the piss, as I sat opposite him near the head of the table. We'd be the nearest to Antonio by the looks of things. Jared was wearing that same expression he'd worn when he'd proposed his little bet. A bet that I was having a hard time not thinking about.
"Stop calling me that. You know it does my head in." "Does your head in?"
Unfamiliar with the terminology, it would seem.
"It annoys me," I amended. "Sam, this is Commander Dawson."
Jared gestured to the vampire beside him, who had quite a gangly look and buck teeth.
Hi, I said. I wasn't much of a conversationalist after just waking up.
I heard about your performance at the tryout.
Jocelyn's voice was gruff, making him sound aggravated, which perfectly suited a Pagori vampire.
Controlling the elements is a hard thing to do. And this is Commander Marsh, said Jared, as he pointed to the vampire beside Dawson.
Marsh flashed me a smile that was obscured by a badly in need of a trim mustache. Both his mustache and his hair were bushy and silver.
And I'm Donnie, said a wide-eyed, incredibly cute vampire in a flirtatious voice. Or Commander Rodney.
Just then, more vampires piled into the room, laughing and joking amongst themselves. I recognized two of them as the blokes who judged at the tryout with Jared. If I remembered rightly, the dark-skinned Kasia was Commander Lou Sherman, and the Auburn Pagori was Commander Will Norton. Both nodded at me, looking a little awkward. I knew it was childish that I didn't nod back, but both of them should have done the fair thing and told Jared not to be so biased against women and given me the place I'd earned in the squad. Well, here I am sitting in a meeting with them as their equal, so who's laughing now? Jared introduced me to three more commanders. McGowan, a tall, miserable-looking Pagori. Baker, a dark Pagori who laughed like a hyena. And Rowan, another Pagori who turned out to be a whistler.
And of course there is me, said a familiar voice.
I turned to find Evan doing his cocky strut into the room.
Hello again, he said to me, before turning to the bloke beside me, Commander Baker. Move along, Laugh-a-Lot.
After a short game of musical chairs, Evan was seated next to me.
I see you two have met.
If I didn't know any better, I think Jared sounded sour about it.
I tell you something, bro. That consort of yours, Joyce or whatever her name is weird. She's just pulled me aside and asked me to keep you away from Sam.
Why? I asked, amused.
Because she's weird, Evan repeated. Not that I mind keeping you company.
Going by the odd looks being exchanged between the brothers, I'd say they were having a telepathic conversation, and it wasn't altogether pleasant.
But won't that upset your consort? I said to Evan teasingly. Oh, I don't have one.
He waved a hand, as if the whole concept was dumb. I liked Evan. Just then Antonio entered with his two guards, pit bulls. Behind them were Sebastian and a strange tall cager with long white-grey hair and a matching long beard.
That's Luther, Jared informed me. He's Antonio's advisor.
Someone should tell him that he's not living in the film Lord of the Rings. Jared coughed to hide his chuckle. The brindled dog, Nero, nuzzled my hand, then lay by my feet, almost protectively. Instantly, there was whispering in the room. My God, these blokes were like little old women, gasping and gossiping about every little thing. Antonio only rolled his eyes at Nero's behavior.
You will all, no doubt, be wondering why I was in such a great rush to have this latest squad prepared so quickly, he said as he gracefully sank into the chair at the head of the table.
Apparently, he didn't like to beat about the bush. The red pit's Achilles sat up straight beside his chair.
You will also be curious as to why I've ordered for the other squads to be pushed to their limits these past few weeks.
After a long pause, which I assumed was for dramatic effect, Antonio explained.
Luther had a vision.
With those words, all eyes fell on the Gandalf look-alike, who happens to be staring at me.
He foresaw that the Hollow's walls would be attacked in the near future. It was not possible at the time to be sure of when, but two nights ago he had another vision. It was clearer, and Luther saw a great number of vampires preparing for battle, led by the Svente High Master, Bennington.
Bennington, who was British like me, had quite a reputation for collecting gifted vampires. I'd met him a few times. He had tried to buy me from Victor, but even though Victor barely had any money, he'd refused to hand me over for any price.
As you are all aware, Bennington is a Svente vampire with no impressive gift to boast of. But using his gift to measure the power voltage coming from other vampires, He has compensated for his own weak defense by selecting extremely gifted vampires to build himself a team of bodyguards. We are now thinking that perhaps it was not a security team he was building, but an army to aid him in overtaking the Hollow. We must be ready in every sense of the word, which is why I have employed Commander Parker to assist with training the new recruits in controlling their gifts.
How many did Luther see? Asked Evan, all seriousness now.
Approximately 300, which leads us to believe that Bennington will add more and more to his own numbers as he makes his way here. I would imagine that he will try and rally supporters during Robert Connolly's gathering in a few weeks' time. I am hoping that some of those High Master vampires will refuse his offer and then journey here and aid us in guarding the exterior of the walls. We can only be glad that Luther's vision has enabled us to have the time to properly prepare.
You said you wanted the new squad ready in a month, said Jared.
You don't think they'll be here before then?
It was Luther who answered.
No. In my vision, during the attack, I was rounding up the humans to take them into hiding, and there were summer sales signs up in one of the clothes stores. After I'd had the vision, I asked the manager of the store when those signs would be put up. That is not for another 4 weeks. So I would say that it will be a minimum of 1 month before the attack is made.
Again, Luther's eyes found me. His gaze was searching, like he was trying to see through me. Uncomfortable, I looked away quickly. Antonio, you say you're going to protect the walls?
Yes, we will attempt to stop them before they enter.
I'm sorry, but it sounds like the battle for Troy all over again.
You want to leave the walls unprotected? Sniggered Commander Hyena Baker,
who had severely tested my patience already with the Svente jibes he'd made shortly before Antonio arrived. I rolled my eyes. How about you pipe down and try not to crack a not-funny joke for just a few minutes? I turned back to Antonio. I don't see why you're going to let them get so close to the Hollow's walls. They'll probably guess that you've got someone who has the gift of precognition. They'll expect you to be lined up outside the walls, waiting like Trojans. I mean, think about it. You've got rainforests surrounding the entire place. Rainforests that the squads train in and probably know inside and out. This is your front and back yard, which gives you an advantage. Use it.
Ordinarily, vampires and animals give each other a wide berth.
And that is exactly why no one will be expecting you all to be planted around the rainforest waiting. Evan nodded.
I like it. As do I, said Luther.
His eyes still spooked me out. I didn't meet his gaze for more than a few seconds.
If nothing else, began Commander White, at least we'll be able to minimize the number of vampires reaching the actual walls.
I don't mind going on the front line, I told Antonio. I know. I stopped short at the sound of a snigger. Turning in my seat, I found that it wasn't Baker this time. Commander Dawson was shaking his head at me from across the table.
Sweetness, you help coach the new squad, but that's where it should end for you.
Up until then, I thought he wasn't so bad. How many more of you are sexist? I said through my teeth.
This is not about you being a female, Sweetness. You might be a feeder and have the ability to produce a nice little whip, but being part of the Legion requires more than that.
A nice little whip, I echoed. He sounded like Jared.
You ever killed someone, Sweetness?
His tone made it clear that he was expecting the answer to be no. Yes, I answered honestly and with no guilt. They'd all had it coming, especially the bastards who kidnapped the little kids to sell as vessels, or even as consorts to those who were sick in the head. One thing I could say for Victor was that he never gave me a mark that was innocent. Dawson quickly rephrased.
You ever killed them purposely?
Yes.
How did that make you feel, to kill in cold blood?
He clearly wasn't happy about my answers so far. With all that adrenaline pumping away, I felt great. There were a few muffled chuckles. Some were from Jared, Evan, and Sebastian, I noticed.
Ever led a squad before?
He asked, grimacing. Yes.
Are you saying you...
I growled. God, give me strength, I begged as I looked upwards. I'm bored with question time now, Dixon.
It's Darson.
I know. I heard Antonio mutter to Luther in amusement and approval.
She brings life to these meetings, doesn't she?
I returned Dawson's scowl as I continued. Let's save us both some time. My bloodthirsty sire sent me on a hell of a lot of assignments. Some on my own, some with a squad of eight. I always got my target, and I always brought all eight back. Sebastian nodded, huffing at Dawson.
Then I assume Commander Dawson's concerns are now addressed, said Antonio.
Dawson, looking a little sheepish now, nodded. Antonio then included everyone as he continued.
I agree with Sam that we should capitalize on our knowledge of the surrounding area and attack Bennington's force before they have a chance to attack us. I trust that you can decide amongst yourselves which squads should concentrate on defending the walls and which should be positioned within the rainforest. I give permission for squads to leave the Hollow's walls to train within the forest. That will be all. Thank you.
Nero gave my hand a slobbery lick, which almost seemed like a goodbye gesture as I rose from my seat.
What a flirt, Evan said jokingly, referring to Nero as he also stood. Well, you'd know all about that, wouldn't you?
Jared was glaring at Evan again in that weird way. Hey, don't forget to leave the personnel files of the recruits on my desk, I told Jared.
Sure,
he replied, walking speedily out of the room. I gave Evan a questioning look. Evan shrugged at his brother's behavior.
He never was quite right upstairs. Commander Parker, Sam, called Antonio. Could you spare a moment?
Yeah, of course. I gave Evan a farewell smile, which he returned. Once the room was empty of commanders, Antonio gestured to the Kaja, who had spent much of the meeting staring at me.
I do not believe you have formally met my advisor, Luther.
Luther's handshake was gentle.
It is a pleasure to meet you at last.
The soft bugger shook the hand that was covered in Nero's slobber. He wasn't too pleased about that, and wiped it on his grey trousers. What he said suddenly sank in. A pleasure to meet me at last. I hadn't even been here for 72 hours yet. Not really knowing what to say to that, I replied simply. And you? His smile seemed to indicate that he'd picked up on my confusion. Antonio spoke again.
Sam, as you know, Luther's gift is precognition. He sporadically has visions. Whenever I appoint someone to have a high position within the Hollow, I offer them a glimpse of their own future. This helps them with either avoiding something or working towards it, which in turn is good for the Hollow.
A glimpse of my future?
Part of Luther's gift is that he can allow another person to have a vision of their own merely through touch. He would not see your vision, only you would. And you would not be obliged to reveal anything of what you see. It can be for you and you alone to know.
Luther quickly said.
Many have decided that they do not wish to know anything of their future. Some believe that having the vision is what causes the event. I cannot comment on that as I do not know for certain, but most of my visions do come true.
Antonio placed a hand on my shoulder.
It is your choice, Sam.
He said it like a question. What kind of vision would it be? I mean, will it be a positive one or a negative one? I don't want to see my own death, but if I'm going to win the lotto, that would be interesting to know. Luther smiled, shrugging.
There is no way of knowing.
Not a great answer. When you say a glimpse of the future, do you mean my future or the future itself? I'd rather not see other people's future. It'd feel like spying or something.
The vision may indeed contain other people, but only if they are interlinked with that time in your future.
Are the visions clear, or more like brief, flashing images? I don't see much point in getting a glimpse if it's like going to be looking through fog.
Sometimes they are very clear, sometimes clear enough, and other times they are so vague that I will be awake all day trying to decipher what I saw.
Not what I was hoping to hear. Are we talking near future or really distant future? Luther chuckled.
Do you know, Sam, that not